Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Right there, that is! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored! Musial ran first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
And that's McGaffey breaking free, has a seam, and a crease! The kicker can't trip him up! Headed for the end zone! Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open. Brower. Rebound. He scores. Try Brower. The former blockup has given the Blues a 3-2 lead.
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Good morning and welcome. This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with Martin Kilcoin. Jim Hewer is our broadcast engineer. Brian Hoffman is our producer. We're broadcasting live from one of the great country clubs in St. Louis for one of the great sporting events in St. Louis. It is the 1-2-3 Club Christmas Party. And, Martin, this is really a who's who of St. Louis sports figures.
Clearly.
Yes, you're here, so that kind of completes the list. But how about Jim Cavanaugh, Al Trost, John Rooney, Al Hrabowski, Ted Simmons is going to be here. How about that?
Jay Are we Williamson? Playing that clip again?
We should.
Ooh, I got to find that.
But, Martin, this is how it all began. I know you're interested in this. 1946, two gentlemen in St. Louis, Leo Ward and Bill Fairborn, had lunch, and they invited Sam Muchnick and Bob Burns. This was 1946 to 1947, and that's how the 1-2-3 Club began. And today, there's going to be over 400 people here celebrating the person of the year, the one and only Bob Costas.
So Bob will be honored today and on this show. What a double dip for him.
Yeah, boy, it's a real feather in his cap.
He is, you know, it's funny, he scaled back his schedule, but he still has appearances like crazy. About 3 or 4 years ago, I was trying to get him to do a radio hit in my news talk days, and he called me back and he said, I'm taking the next year off from radio hits, he said. And he starts explaining like his schedule. And he was going to the Olympics. He was at MLB Network. I said, Bob, you don't have – I said, I feel like I have a lot of demands on my time for events. You know, there's a lot of events that you'll host or go to. And I said – for 1 second, don't explain it. He said, well, I just need a year where I can take everything off my plate. I got to get these Olympics done. And I'm like, trust me, you joining me on a Wednesday at 11:20 isn't going to change my world. I totally get it. But so now he's scaled back, but he still has appearances.
Yeah, well, just think about in St. Louis recently, the cancer dinner, and then he was honored at the hospital. He has this honor. I mean, that's three honors in 3 months.
Well, and then there's New York stuff and around the country. You know, there's probably a Tulsa writers dinner where they want him to come. And he has Pam Davis, who is his longtime assistant based in St. Louis, doing the scheduling.
St. Louis or Memphis?
Well, this is funny because I said this to him like a month. Like, all of my references are dated. And I said, hey, is Pam still helping you? Because Pam does everything, scheduling. And I said, she's out of Memphis. He said, hasn't been for about 15 years. And I said, oh, so she recently moved. Anyway, my point is he's got a full plate, even though he's scaled
in
back.
In terms of on-air work, besides the MLB hits where he actually does games, and they're terrific games, and then occasional hits with the studio group, he's not
– TV-wise, he's scaled back. He's trying to launch – the last time we did something – I mean, the big question was, now what? He's trying to do a show that is similar to the later program that he did. Remember the later show?
Oh,
and it
great.
Wasn't just sports. He might have John Mellencamp for a half hour, and they would sit and talk. There's no studio audience. He's trying to do that for him, and he said he's got some places that are interested. So it could be a Netflix where he rolls it out. So I think that's his next project.
Now Netflix would be the thing, you know, where you're not – you're not having time restraints. You probably don't have a lot of, you know, overbearing producers, and you just do your own thing.
Yeah, there's no time constraints. You can have any guest you want. I suspect that's what he'll be doing. At some point here, he'll kind of roll that out. I think he's on the Kentucky Derby this year, isn't he? Isn't that weird? I think he has one more.
Because when you think of horse racing, you think of Bob Costas breaking down the outstanding three-year-olds in the country.
I want to ask him, because we mentioned La Russa and feuds. There was one time La Russa got really mad at Costas because it was the writer's dinner, and it was right after McGuire came clean. Bob had a couple of funny lines about McGuire and steroids, and Tony got, like, pissed and left the podium. It was, I think, the writers. I don't know. We'll get the specifics from Bob. But I'm pretty sure La Russa stormed off the dais at the writer's dinner because Bob was telling steroid McGuire jokes.
That is
so
terrific.
To add it to the list of Scott Rolen and Ozzie Smith, it's a who's who
Jeff
for
Brantley,
Tony.
Jeff Brantley, Ron Gant, Edmonds for a little brief period.
And Stepanovich never possessed the letter, right?
He just read it.
He read it. Because if he did.
Out by the mailbox.
We
Steve,
could go,
will you look at this?
We could go to some sort of auction house and saying, I have over here the letter Tony wrote to Scott Rolen, basically saying you're a terrible person.
It almost could be a 30 for 30 that we could air on Channel 5 and Channel 2, the letter.
The letter. And you sit down, Steve, with some real dark lighting. Well, I remember specifically, he had me come out. He looked a little tormented, said, read this. And then the headline of the whole thing was, who sends a letter?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, loose leaf, I think, the way it was described.
And it was more, and it wasn't, let's get along.
No, it wasn't an apology letter.
Right.
It was me stating my case on why you're the one who ruined this relationship.
I think Ben Fred.
Because we could set the whole thing up, you and me, outside the Cardinal locker room in Shea Stadium when Rolen was initially benched. We could get other Cardinals like Edmonds and everybody was a part of that drama. This is a half-hour show.
30 for 30 for sure, yes. And it was Spezio got the start, but I don't think Rolen was informed.
Yes.
That he was not in the lineup.
Can't you just remember it was yesterday right outside the locker room? Because it was so wild. This guy shockingly this all-star MVP candidate ripping this future Hall of Fame manager to us on local television.
Right. And the access is what always kills me. You would go out to a Rams practice in August and ask for the punter. Oh, no, he did something yesterday. And you'd say, excuse me? We get Scott Rolen before an NLCS or even on the field. You could get, name a player of the Cardinals before World Series game 5 or 6. You're standing on the field. They're talking to you. And you'd go out to the Rams Park. No. Not available. And I will say it's an NFL thing as much as it was a Rams thing.
Yeah, think about the whole premise. Like baseball, we will be interviewing a guy at 5:20 and he's an hour and 40 minutes away from trying to hit a 100-mile-an-hour fastball. Football players, you're cut off from interviewing them after 12 o'clock on a Friday for a Sunday game.
Right. Saturday, off limits.
Oh, yeah.
Got a big walk. And that's one thing I will always point out with Jeff Fisher is he wasn't real uptight about the rules with players and access. He thought that was like a waste of time.
So that's your one thing about
Fisher. Well, I've always said there's so many bad coaches at Rams Park, and a lot of them had paranoia and weird rules. He never got caught up in any of that. I will say he embraced not just the media but the culture. Like a Jim Hanifin was welcome to go anywhere in the building. Under Spagnuolo, he wasn't allowed to come in the building. Just stupid stuff. Fisher did not get caught up in that.
Speaking of that, Bob Glauber from Newsday has a new book out about the three great coaches of the 80s, Gibbs, Walsh, and Parcells. I was just listening to a podcast the other day, and we're trying to book Glauber, but he tells this story about how, you know how Walsh had the 17 scripted plays before every game? That he knew this was the way it was going to be. And you know the NFL has this rule that if one set of headsets go down, nobody can use headsets. So they're playing the Giants in this huge game, and Walsh makes sure that two plays in, the headsets go down. He creates this, gaffe in the mechanical ability of the headsets. So, all right, headsets got to come off. And, the 49ers were fine because they had the 17 scripted plays. And Parcells knows that Walsh did this on purpose. And so the next time they played, Parcells said, you pulled that, didn't you? He goes, yeah, and he winked at him.
Which, if you ever were around Bill Walsh or interviewed him, he didn't seem like that guy. He was like your grandpa.
Yeah.
This really mild-mannered, almost meek in terms of personality, but obviously a genius and devious enough to pull something like that off.
And a guy who would play tennis in all white clothing and then afterwards have a glass of cab while Parcells was, a beer drinker and a just a New Jersey guy.
Two of my favorite moments inside the dome where we would have media sessions. They had the separate room for the coaches to come and talk. And it was in 99. It was the game where they beat the 49ers. Isaac Bruce scored four touchdowns. So they were 4-0. They were starting to look like the real deal with Kurt Warner. And Dick Vermeil is at his press conference. And Bill Walsh, I think, was an executive at that point, some kind of glorified assistant for the Niners, came into the press conference and interrupted to say to Vermeil, "You got yourself a hell of a team," or something along those lines. And they were old friends, but he kind of interrupted the press dealing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, my God, Bill Walsh just popped in here. The other one that comes to mind, right before Vermeil, whomever the coach at the time, I don't remember what year, were all assembled there sitting on those ugly blue chairs just waiting for the coach to show up. Georgia walks in, and we're all like, wow, is Georgia going to hold court? And if she looked over, and she said, "Hi, Bernie." And Bernie said, "Hey, Georgia, hey, how are you?" And she said, "Did you get my soup recipe?" And I think Bernie wanted to crawl into a hole and hide. I have no idea what it was about, but I'll never forget it. She didn't want to talk about the draft pick. She didn't want to say, "I enjoyed your column." She just popped in to make sure he got the soup recipe.
Wow.
I bet if we text him, he would remember that, too.
That is good stuff. So we're broadcasting live from Norwood Hills Country Club, the 123 Club Christmas Party. And you talk about some notable persons of the year over the past. Bob Golby, the Masters champion. J.J. Kay, Bobby Plager, Bernie Federko, Red Shanding, Stan Musial was once the person of the year, and I imagine one of their best ever was Jim Hanifin.
And I would say if you're not in the holiday mood, this room will do it. I mean, it's fully decorated with Christmas gear, red, white, sparkling lights, and you feel very festive here. Don't you think, Hoff, maybe like a milk stout or something to start your day off?
A little winter lager.
A little winter lager.
Yeah.
Very nice.
A little day off TV.
Something a little darker with maybe some like peppermint or cinnamon in it. Yeah.
The vanilla snowdrift from Liney's that was served. Now, Frank has on his screen, ESPN.com, and one of the pictures on there, I can't look at the picture, and I've refused to read the piece. It's outside the lines. They posted this yesterday, and it's all about stadium food.
Oh, no.
And all it says in the headline, roaches, mice, and others in your stadium food. Can you even bother? Like, I don't want to see it. I don't want to read it. I'm sure there's some horrible stories out there. But I don't want to know that, do you?
Oh,
you see
no.
that?
Gosh,
I think
yeah.
they show a moldy bun on there, but it says mice, roaches, and others.
There's a reason whenever I go to a game, about the only thing I'll eat is like a pretzel or nachos. Because my assumption always is those don't really go bad.
You know, with that said, if you go to the Enterprise Center now and you have, the High Point Diner, Salt and Smoke, I'm telling you, you know what they do so well there is the Salt and Smoke people, they make sure that they have their people there and not the Enterprise Center people. So they make sure that brisket is unbelievable. I am so impressed with the Enterprise Center, but I guess this happens around the country.
Yeah, but I'm saying as much as you and I like food, do you want to even see that? Because it's going to plant a seed. If you're at Wrigley Field next year and you're eating a hot dog, you're going to think of this stupid story. If you're on the road, let's say the Blues – playoff game this year and you're in Colorado or wherever and you want to grab something from the concession stand, this is going to be in the back of your mind.
Wow. Yeah, good stuff.
It's disturbing.
A couple of sports items we should toss around. We have a big basketball game for the Billikens this weekend. They're playing a Houston team that's 24th in the country who've won 22 straight at home, who are 9-0 this season, and they blasted the Billikens last year. And I don't know about the health of Deion Wiley and Tremaine Isabel, who both were at practice yesterday but were limited.
You're going to their place. They're 9-0. It's funny, you think Kelvin Sampson, I think your blink on Kelvin Sampson is still kind of scandal, cheater, whatever, but he is a winner.
All he does is win.
All he does is win. And the Houston program, I kind of like them being back.
Yeah.
Because when we were kids, I mean, they were such a legit program. Then it just became nothing for a long time. That's a tough deal.
One of the few programs, too, Martin, where I don't think you can you don't have to leave the city limits. It's like Memphis with Dana Kirk a long time ago. You got stay in that area, just seal the borders for that city, and you can probably win big.
Yeah, I think for SLU, I'm sure when they scheduled it, they're like, hey, that's kind of a tough one. It's maybe a little tougher than they thought.
Yeah, I think that if you could get one of the two, Houston or Florida State, after getting Seton Hall and getting Butler, your non-conference – Travis's schedule has been outstanding.
And I wouldn't say this to Travis. I mean, you could still lose this. You're still fine as long as you roll through the A-10.
Yeah.
Take care of business. A-10, you're going to be fine, but you'd like to get as many wins as you can. So I'm looking. Is it televised?
It's on ESPNU.
Okay.
So you can actually watch it on TV and not a computer
screen.
I don't have
to. I just got my bill. I just noticed my bank account, ESPN Plus, just went through. I'm like, I forgot to cancel it. I bought it for that Saluki game. And they said you had 7 days to cancel, and I forgot. So I'm now the proud owner of ESPN Plus.
Huh. Hockey-wise, the Blues have an interesting game tonight. I get the feeling there's a chance that maybe we could see like a good month. Not a great month, but Jaden Schwartz is back, and I do think he changes everything for the Blues.
And it is a Friday night, 5-0 on Fridays, and the card that I always play, and Hoffman knows, I always say – I feel like they're due for a good stretch. Maybe they're not capable, but they're certainly overdue. The last five times they won a game, they lost the next one. So they haven't gone back-to-back, and I think it's been about a month and a half.
Yeah, November 4th.
Shouldn't be that hard to win two in a row.
Did you see the stat that after they've won and then they lose, it's 24-6 they're being
outscored.
Like
the score.
Yeah, it's insane.
So if they're ever going to get rolling, I would think they have a chance here.
But they have a good team they're facing.
Right,
in the
Colorado's fast. Yeah. It's a loaded team. Somehow you shut them out. Right? Was that a shutout? The one they won in overtime with Parayko a couple of Fridays ago. They won in Colorado, played well in that game. But so if you're ever going to start piecing some wins together, I mean, I think we expect them to lose tonight. No offense to Curbs if he's on the line. But I'll be pleasantly surprised if they are able to win a game.
And then we had a football game last night on Fox 2, which I was very disappointed because it was so good and so compelling. And Phillip Rivers was just insane down the stretch, and they go for it on the two-point conversion, and it works out.
How about Anthony Lynn? I mean, did anybody know anything about this guy when he got the job?
No.
And here he is. I mean, he might be the coach of the year. I mean, the Chiefs had a chance to wrap up the division title. Chargers are now tied. They're both 11-3, and they split their two games. It's my dream scenario, Frank. Chargers win the Super Bowl. They have no fan base. They have no place to go for the parade.
Can you imagine the AFC playoffs going through Los Angeles, the Chargers, them playing road games in the AFC division and title game? That'd be hilarious.
I think it'd be awesome. And yesterday I was talking about it, but they were a game behind. They were not going to be able to do that. If somehow they win the division, then they're going to have some home games in the LA Galaxy's home park.
All right, let's talk a little hockey. We spend every game morning with Chris Kerber at the rink. He joins us now. Chris, good to be with you. How are you?
Frank, I'm doing good. How are you today?
Very good. So your take on this club at this stretch, do you have a feeling, Chris, after the performance the other night and Jaden Schwartz back, that they may be on the cusp of making a little bit of a run here?
Well, I, unfortunately, my response to that is going to be, let's wait and see what happens tonight. This team has only put back-to-back wins together twice, and so sometimes there's been the good, and then it hasn't been translated from one game to the next. So the difference is in this situation, though, they're not going from a really strong team to a team that's a little unknown. They're going from a solid victory to a team that they know exactly what's coming at them tonight, especially with Nathan MacKinnon, Landeskog, and Rantanen. So you got to think they'll be ready to go and you know, hopefully find a way to pull one out tonight, and then you can put yourself on a winning streak.
Kerbs, you've been around this team a long time, and I would just think this year is frustrating because this same team goes into Colorado, the Parayko overtime winner, so they've shown they could beat the Sharks, they can beat the Predators, and yet overall they've not played well. Is it maddening for you to try and figure this thing out?
It probably is the biggest enigma of a team since I've been here in terms of that aspect of it. Even in the lean years after coming out of the 2004-05 lockout and you went to dead last in the league and then you drafted Eric Johnson in 2006, you at least had expectations that you knew you weren't going to be good enough at that point in time, but you were building towards something. But you also had guys like Lee Stempniak, Mike Sillinger, and other guys that came in and the effort was there every given night. This team, from being able to play with the top teams in the league, and then playing a team that's down a little bit lower in the standings, they're not going. It is quite an enigma, and maybe speaks more to the mental toughness and aspect of this group more than anything. But it'll definitely confuse you. I mean, I got to think it would confuse the heck out of the coaches and the general manager as well.
Chris, tell us something about Craig Berube that we may not know, or something about Craig Berube that impresses you.
Look, he's a no bull kind of guy. And I know fans always want to talk about accountability. I think he's delivering it. You know, he scratched David Perron after Perron kept taking bad penalties in games. You know, he goes to guy, and he's shortened guys' ice times. I think we've seen some pretty decent in-game adjustments made by him. If a guy is not going, if Thomas is struggling, or if Zach Sanford, you know, is struggling and turning the puck over at the blue line, you know, he may only play 2 minutes in the next period. So he's got to, seems to have a pretty decent feel as the game is going on there. But the one thing that the players have learned to expect from him is Craig's going to tell them exactly how it is, whether they'll want to hear it or not. They're just going to get a straight shooter, and that's an aspect of a coach I really like.
Chris, what's your take on a couple of the young guys, Robert Thomas, Jordan Kyrou? We've heard all of the hype kind of leading into this year, and I know it takes a while to get settled in. What's your assessment of both of those guys?
You know what? Bluntly, Martin, I'll lump all the young guys in, even going back to Blay and Thompson of last year. I don't think that they're taking advantage of the opportunity in front of them enough. And these guys are getting good ice time. These guys are getting top six ice time. And sure, yep, you're 19 years old, you're 20, you're 21 years old, depending on the guy. Or, you know, in the case of, you know, even a Sanford or a Schmaltz, you're even older than that. But the reality of it is you're being given quite an opportunity. And, you know, while these guys are developing and growing into some of these roles, they just haven't been able to take advantage of the opportunity in front of them. So I think what you're dealing with is typical youth, expected mistakes, expected growth from them. And the Blues just haven't been able to pull that guy into the lineup yet that has been like an Alex DeBrincat in Chicago that's just come in and lit it up. So they're going through, I think, typical growing pains with youthfulness right now.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's just too bad because there is a need right now for a spark or somebody to kind of rise up a little bit. You're right, the opportunity is there, and maybe it's still coming for one of these two guys because that might be a little lift that they need right now.
There's no doubt that they need somebody to step up in those lines. And look, if Joel Edmondson can't go tonight and he was not on the ice yesterday, and you know they're taking the ice here in 5 minutes, if he's not able to go tonight, it's a heck of a tax for Jordan Schmaltz. So even him, and we got to throw him in there at 25 years of age. Here's a guy that spent some time in the minors. Here's a chance to grab it in the National Hockey League and play. And at some point in time, you can't look at coaches. You can't blame ice time. You can't blame scenarios. You just got to go in there and find a way to get the job done. And I think Craig Berube is putting faith in the young guys. He's using them. He's putting them in the lineup. He's putting guys in top six roles. He's not bearing them down the lineup and saying, earn your way up. It's just a matter of them actually getting in there and finding a way to perform. Now, I think in terms of Robert Thomas, Martin, I thought his last couple of games have been really good, and he was on kind of the upward swing of a bell curve. So, you know, we'll see where that peaks here as a young guy, but I like his last couple of games.
Chris, good stuff. We appreciate it. We'll be listening tonight. Thank you, sir.
All right, Frank, Martin, have a good day out there. Talk to you guys soon.
All right, Chris Kerber is brought to you by Petromart. Anders is the official accounting firm of the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Go to AndersCPA.com. They want you to enjoy your weekend. Have a good time. Let them handle the accounting. Let them handle the taxes. AndersCPA.com, been around for 52 years, started with two employees, now up to almost 200. We appreciate them being a part of the program. And our title sponsor, Hollywood Casino. We were out there the other night, had some great crab rangoon, the meatballs. 99 Hops House is the place to watch a game, 99 different beers to choose from, about 50 television sets in that little area. And you can do a little people watching, maybe have an elegant dinner at Final Cut Steakhouse or Charlie Gito's. Hollywood Casino, the title sponsor of this program. We're broadcasting live from Norwood Hills Country Club, one of the great clubs in St. Louis. We are at the 123 Club Christmas Party. Notable guests include Travis Ford, Jim Cavanaugh, Mike Claiborne, and Chops Ritter. We'll be right back.